Hare Krishna. So Krishna has described about karma, akarma, vikarma. He gave these terminologies. He told about, he spoke about karma, then he said that there is something called as vikarma, then they said that there is something called as akarma. Now he's talking something more on this, and he's speaking or is elaborating on the concept of karma and akarma. So let's see that in shloka number 18. Karmanya akarma yaha pashyed, akarmani cha karmayaha, sa buddhiman manushyeshu, sa yuktaha kritsna karma krit. So here Krishna is saying that yaha pashyed, one who sees, what one who sees? Karmanya akarma, one who sees inaction, and akarmani cha karmayaha, and action in inaction, akarma in karma. One who sees action in inaction, sa buddhiman manushyeshu, such a person, that person is the most intelligent person in the entire human society. Sa yuktaha, that person is in the transcendental position. Kritsna karma krit, although he is engaged in doing various worldly activities. A very, very nice shloka to understand this line. Inaction, inaction, and action in inaction. Very, very nice line to understand and contemplate on. So before we enter this purport, where Srila Prabhupada is talking exclusively about akarma, let's try to understand karma, vikarma in detail. Now, what do we mean by karma and vikarma? Both of them, they are done for one's own sense enjoyment, one's own sense gratification, with attachment. Now, what is karma? Karma are those activities which are done in accordance to the injunctions of Vedic scriptures. And what is the result of that? The result is good reactions. The person gets a lot of punya. And after getting a lot of punya, he gets a good destination. He goes to some higher planet like some swarga, and he enjoys there. Enjoys for many, many thousands of years. Obviously, after those credits, those punya is finished, he has to come back. That's a different thing. But he will enjoy. And what is vikarma? Vikarma are those activities which are done against the injunction of the Vedic scriptures. And since the person is going against the injunction of Vedic scriptures, he is incurring lot of papa. That is bad reactions. And what will be the destination? He will be pulled down. That person will be pulled down to what? Lower species. And also, along with that, he will suffer in hellish planets for many, many years, many thousands of years. So in this way, we understand that what is karma and what is vikarma. And both of them are actually bad, because both of them, karma and vikarma, the person will keep the person in this material world. Like for example, if someone has got punya, he has to come back to this material world again to enjoy that punya. If someone has got papa, the person has to come back to this material world to suffer for the same. So in this way, we understand both karma and vikarma, they are a great obstacle to break the cycle of birth and death. So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to do akarma. And what is akarma? Akarma means working for the pleasure of Krishna. That is akarma. So what are the reactions of akarma? Akarma itself means no reaction. What will be the destination of the person? So when it comes to karma, punya, the person went to higher planet, that is Swargaloka, enjoying there. Vikarmik, that is papa, the person goes to lower planets, that is hellish planets, to suffer there. What about the person doing akarma? That person will break the cycle of birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead. So this is the concept of karma, vikarma, and akarma. Here Prabhupada says that a person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the bonds of karma. His activities are all performed for Krishna. Therefore, he does not enjoy or suffer any of the effects of work. Why in akarma there are no reactions? Because the person is not living for his own sense gratification, for his own sense enjoyment. He is living for the pleasure of Krishna. All the time he is just thinking about, how can I work for Krishna? How can I give pleasure to Krishna? He is intelligent and human society, even though he's engaged in all sorts of activities for Krishna. Now, this is a very, very nice concept, you know, to understand. Let me read the next line also. The impersonalist ceases the fruitive activities out of fear so that the resultant action may not be a stumbling block on path of self-realization. But the personalist knows rightly his position as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. So there are two categories of people. One category of people is, they are the ones who are still engaged in the worldly activities. They have a family, they go to work, they earn money, maintain the family. This is one category of people. There is another category of people, you know, who are called as karma sannyasis, and who are also called as the different category, who are also called as mayavadis or impersonalists. So now, this category of people, they are engaged in doing all the activities, day-to-day activities. And this category of people, they don't do any of such activities. They are busy in their own meditation. Now, let's try to understand the destination of these two. Now, the person who is engaged in the worldly activities, but still, he's keeping Krishna in the center and working for the pleasure of Krishna, what happens? That person is doing akarma. And since he's doing akarma, he'll not get any reaction. So externally, we'll see that he's doing action. But actually, it is inaction. Hope you understand this. He's doing some action, but actually it's inaction, because his activities are not going to get any reaction. That person will be free from all the reactions of work. But this category of people who have taken karma sannyas, who are impersonalists, mayavadis, out of fear that, okay, if I do any activity in this world, I'll be bound in this world forever. Such people, they stop doing work, but then they cannot avoid to breathe, they cannot avoid to eat, they cannot avoid to drink, and they cannot avoid, while walking, they might be killing so many living entities. So, since they are not Krishna conscious, since they don't have any knowledge of Krishna consciousness, since they are not working for the pleasure of Krishna, what happens? Even when externally they are doing inaction, it's might seemingly inaction, not doing any action, but they are getting lots of reaction. So, it is said that action in inaction. Externally, they are not doing anything. It looks like, no, they are not doing anything, but actually, they are getting a lot of reactions because they are not living their life for the pleasure of Krishna. They are just living to achieve something for their own pleasure. So, in this way, we understand that person who is still doing worldly activities is much, much better than a karma sannyasi, because this person who is engaged in worldly activities has kept Krishna in the center, working for the pleasure of Krishna with all his family members. And what to talk about an impersonalist or karma sannyasi who has given up everything externally, but then internally, if the person is attached to sense objects, oh, he is a pretender. So here it is very clearly said that a person who has kept Krishna in the center, he knows very well that he is servant of Krishna and he works accordingly in Krishna consciousness. Because everything is done for Krishna, he enjoys only transcendental happiness in the discharge of this service. Those who are engaged in this process are known to be without desire for personal sense gratification. So this is a nice point. When someone is working for the pleasure of Krishna, that person is free from the contamination of expectation of any reward in return. He doesn't have that, okay, I'm doing this for Krishna, I want this in return. No. He's just working for Krishna. And when he's working for Krishna, what is happening? He will also get pleasure. He'll also relish. Because when we serve Krishna, automatically the person will also get that bliss, because Krishna is satisfied. The sense of eternal servitorship to Krishna makes one immune to all sorts of reactionary elements of work. A very wonderful line, I'll repeat. The sense of eternal servitorship to Krishna, that is always serving Krishna, makes one immune to all sorts of reactionary elements of work. So, such a person will be completely free from all the reactions of the work. As we said in the previous video also, that we have to be very, very intelligent to transform our day-to-day activities into Krishna conscious activities. What we are supposed to do? Keep Krishna in the center of all the work and do it for the pleasure of Krishna. And one of the easiest way to transform all the activities into Krishna conscious activities is, while doing any activity, think that I'm doing it for Krishna and give the results as an offering to Krishna. And along with that, we have to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, while doing each and every activity. And just by doing that, our so-called akarma and vikarmic activities, those will be transformed into akarmic activities. And externally we might be doing action, but actually it is inaction in action. So hope we understand this line now. Inaction in action and action in inaction. So now Krishna is going to continue the same theme to tell us more about this so that we can be freed from the reactions of work. So let's see the future verses in the next video. Hare Krishna.